you've recently closed another show on Broadway.
I did indeed. Hopefully I didn't close it, but I left the Lion King. Actually, was it yesterday? It seems like so long ago now.
After a lengthy run.
A year and a half, yeah.
And you were playing?
I was playing Scar, who's, I guess, the Disney equivalent of Claudius.
So there's some Shakespeare crossover.
Apparently, yeah. Well, I mean, there's the archetype is there. The father who's killed by the evil uncle to displace the son. So, yeah, there's a great use of that to kind of make an incredible journey out of the cartoon.
Now, I have to ask, was Shakespeare present in your mind when you were performing Scar on Broadway?
I do think that, you know, those archetypes are there, and that's why, you know, one of the reasons why we respond to Shakespeare. They're kind of like these really stories, and they're taken from, you know, obviously from other stories, you know, like Amleth, where Hamlet comes from. And so, you know, everybody's standing on everybody else's shoulders. So they could do worse, you know, at Disney to base something around that. Now, I don't know if that was intentional when they were making it, but I do think that iteration is there. And for me, you know, it's really kind of my joy to take those ideas, those archetypes, and sort of have a ball with them, you know, like the boogeyman. I mean, I think it's something that I ran into hearing Ian McKellen talk about doing Richard III. It was a discussion about whether how one makes something relevant in a modern sense, and they were talking about psychological realism in Shakespeare, and Ian McKellen was sort of like, why? That delimits the fun you can have with this guy. This guy's like the boogeyman. He's the original sociopath. And so if you untether it from like this psychological realism, you get to go and have all of this fun with all of these different colors. And then for me, for God's sakes, it's the Lion King. So like you can kind of construct your own being. I'm playing a lion, for God's sake. So what is a lion in a corset and chaps and a cane? What happens there, you know?
Are you saying that a post-Stanislavski, objective-oriented approach to playing Scar in The Lion King is for the birds?
No. I think objective has always got to be there because it's always tethered to what you want, and you have to want it. And that's why the story works. Because and that's what we respond to as an audience. We're this person who feels they've been cast aside and overlooked, and yet have this incredible desire and will to power. I mean, and for that character to work, you have to have that objective of I will be the king. But it can manifest in a larger palette, I think, sometimes than we think. I think it goes back to style. I think, you know, we assume that psychological realism is the truth. But really, a lot of people assume that because that's what predominantly we see on film and television and so on and so forth. But we forget that it's acting, it's a style. It isn't truth. It's a representation, just like a restoration comedy. And the style, the performance style, often comes from, I think, the writing. The writing will tell you how you play something. I think John Gielgud said style's knowing the play that you're in. And I think you know that through the writing. So, like, you know, Mamet requires you to play a certain way. And he, of course, would exhort you to play it. You're not playing anything. You're just saying his lines. And that will do the work. But in the process of saying those lines, there's a rhythm, there's a cadence, there's an attack, all of these different things that inform you as a performer about who this person is. That is true of The Lion King as well, I think.
Now that you've appeared in this role in this fantastically produced show on Broadway, what lessons will you bring back with you the next time you do a show at regional theater, for example, where they don't have that sort of access to resources?
Well, for me, you know, it was really kind of a great joy because I feel like it's an embarrassment of riches in terms of that. And what works about it, to my mind, it's an archive of theater history. I mean, the shadow puppets are thousands of years old. They're Balinese shadow puppets from Wayan Kulit, which is the Balinese shadow puppet festival where they tell the story of the Mahabharata. And the mask work, that's, you know, that goes back to Greece, but it also goes back to, you know, ancient history in Asia. I could go on and on and on about those elements that are in The Lion King. And that's what I think Julie Taymor got so right. And there are elements that have, you know, that I've worked with in regional theater. So I really feel like it's just kind of a glorious imagination set free. And it's just an augmentation of other things that I've worked in other places. And so it isn't that it won't feel less when I go somewhere else. You know what I mean? Because it contains so much of what I care about, or which are these simple propositions. And it's what theater does better, I think, than film and television, where you, as an audience, and you see something like the shadow puppet in the shape of a hyena, in this case, chasing a young lion. And, of course, you know completely that that's a shadow puppet and that there's a person back there working it, but there's a moment of absolutely giving over and suspending disbelief and entering the story. And I think those the simple propositions, like the tears from the lionesses, which are a ribbon that comes out of the eyes, what it does for me is it tells me that people are completely able to digest those things, that those aren't foreign things at all, that like somebody who has no training, no truck with theater at all, will come and see something like that and be completely engaged and completely with it and know the rules and know how to watch it and be completely taken into the story. And that gives me confidence to go back and go, you know, anywhere else and do it in a way that I think before I was sort of like, well, we do this rarefied thing and nobody really cares, and it's just, do people have access to it sometimes? Is it like chamber music? You know, are we doing this for a smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller audience? But what doing The Lion King has done for me is really opened my eyes and really made me see that, like, there is no, that people enter that sphere very easily still, even though we're used to the sort of really literal, sort of naturalistic or psychological realism. Somebody can, you know, who came from, you know, Saskatchewan to see The Lion King in New York can leap right into, you know, oh my God, that's a stampede of wildebeests, but really that's just a piece of fabric at the back that's rolling around, and then two periactoi things rolling around with little miniature wildebeests, you know, oh, and then there's some dancers in front. But I mean, you know, like obviously they can have that kind of rich experience. So that's a long-winded way to say that it still works.
It also demonstrates that there's a thriving market for theater in yeah. that price range, which, right. I mean, to be perfectly honest, is that the tickets are expensive, but they're on a par with what you'd pay for a major sporting event or a concert.
Yeah.
And regional theater allows us to have a theater experience that's much, much more affordable usually.
Right. And that's what I want to say about, you know, like I've done a lot of regional theater where the best shows were completely genius because of the limitations that they had. And that's, to my mind, we have this idea these days as a culture that more equals more. I don't always find that to be the case, and I think most people don't. Actually, the limitations cause people's imaginations to explode sometimes. Now, that isn't to say that, you know, you should, struggling regional theater and financial difficulty isn't really hurting and they should not get any more money. They should. We should. They should be subsidized, or, you know, like they should get all the money they need. But this idea that you can just produce these amazing things by throwing money at them, it misses the point completely. What you want to see is transformation and to be taken on a ride through a story. And that could be done in the simplest means, I think. And often, for me, is the most poetic. There's something about being in the space with the actor and the objects and that transformation that I think is as old as we are. That's the stuff of around the fire. You know, in the Ice Age, or, you know, before.
Thanks for joining us for the State of Shakespeare podcast. We invite you to visit stateofshakespeare.com for more episodes, information about each of our guests, and the Shakespeare text you heard on the program, and much more. And we welcome you to join the discussion by liking us on Facebook. That's www.stateofshakespeare.com. Thanks for listening.